Alrighty. Well, oops, we put in this other way. Recording will maybe go a little better.
Good morning.
Hey, my dear one, please forgive me a bit of a hard time, but let me tell you, I'm not going to say for a minute it's not unjustified. You know, people say, oh, you should have your wife picking on you, or, you know, whatever. It's like, no. That's her role, you know. Spouses should be the first one to tell you if you're having troubles. And I'm probably the worst at it because I don't get into it. Because I don't think it's really, you know, I think it's better to be more promising. No, I don't know what my wife thinks about that. Very worried about doing the right thing, which is absolutely right. And she doesn't do it all the time, so it's not a big issue. Anyway, so I woke up this morning thinking about the whole concept of continuing revelation, and that really ends up being one of the biggest problems. The Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, pardon me, was begun on the concept of continuing revelation. Now, it started real small. There was only one kid doing something that either apparently hadn't been done before, or his willingness to actually act on it. And it was a great spiritual experience as well. I had an interesting, you know, we had a couple who come from Jehovah's Witnesses, and they had started talking to us about their faith, and you know, they swear up and down that it's biblically based and everything else. And that's okay, because all the rest of Christianity, oh, let me tell you about my whole Christianity thing. I've been having a good time putting little symbols behind Christianity, because one of my bugaboos, you know, when people say, are Mormons Christian, and Mormons will suck all the oxygen out of the room, killing themselves, trying to get Christians to admit that Mormons are just like them. And I don't do that, you know. I am perfectly willing to say that Mormonism is a whole nother religion, which Christians also don't want to say either, because they don't want to give Mormonism any standing. And that's because those people are pricks. Sorry. You know, I'm not going to say that about Christianity in general, but you know, that's just all there is, you know. It's like we're fighting some kind of a war, and, you know, and, you know, it really becomes the difference between, like, Democrats and Republicans. Democrats see politics as a war. Republicans just want to kind of, you know, they don't see it as a war. They just see it as, hey, we're just trying to make the world a better place, you know. And they don't tend to gouge out the eyes of the Democratic Party, which is exactly what the Democratic Party is trying to do to Republicans. They want Republicans to cease to exist. The only proper Republican is one that is a Republican in name only. That's all they're after, you know. When they talk about bipartisanship, that means that Republicans roll over and let the Democrats do whatever they want. That's bipartisanship. Hello. Gee whiz. Does everybody know that? you know, Republicans try to have arguments and try to win through argument. And you know what? They never do. They never do. At least not in any significant way. Because Democrats aren't engaged in an argument. They are doing a cut-face war, you know, and the only end that is even remotely acceptable to them at any point is the total destruction of their foes. You know, yeah, it's just like that with gays. You know, people say, you know, if we give gays this, they'll be satisfied, and they'll just kind of hunker down and go, okay, this is fine. But you know what we found out? It said at least the gay movement, the gay movement will never stop. It will never stop until, I swear, everybody drops their pants on demand and you know, gives it up to them. So, and then, you know what? They still won't be satisfied. And you go, you can't give in to these people on any level. On any level. Just because for them, it is an all-out war, and a war that they cannot take. They don't take prisoners. They don't, you know, they don't have an exit strategy. There's nothing like that. There is no, we want this, and then it's over. It's not like that, you know? And you have to understand, between Christians and Mormons, it's the same thing. Christians won't rest until every Mormon is dead. Do you understand that? You know, they can be all cute and fuzzy and stuff like that, as long as, you know, this is, don't you remember when Mormons left the United States and went to Utah before it became part of the United States? Now, it became a part of the United States while they were getting there. This is, Mormons only stop being the target when you started pretty much just giving in all the time. Giving in on this, giving in on that. That was the only time that Mormons ever became anything close to acceptable. Now, I'm not talking about individual Christians and individual Mormons. I'm talking about Christendom versus Mormons, you know? And so Mormons are saying this whole thing of, hey, we want to be inside the tent! We want to be inside the tent! And Christianity says, hell no! Not you! Uh-oh! You ain't Christian! We're Christian! We define it! That's why I started putting a little R. Actually, I should put a TM after that, because I don't think it's a registered trademark. But it's a trademark. But maybe the R would be just as good, because it is, you know, it's been set down. There's some kind of law that says what Christendom is, and it doesn't include us. And so my first thing is just to let it go. So I may change Christianity all over my site, and then, you know, pop in a little explanation of why I did that. It's because Christianity is a brand, and you know, you don't want to be screwing with it. You know, it's better to be totally separate. You know, and they say, well, we worship Jesus Christ too, and you go, quit saying too. Just say what Jesus Christ you worship. You know, quit. It seems like a lot of the rhetoric out of the LDS Church. Of whom I am a devout member, is mostly about, we believe that too, we believe that too, we believe that too, we don't understand what your problem is, can't you see we're Christians? And you go, let it go, let it freaking go, you know? Because I understand that in missionary work you are hoping that in, you know, in being in the Christian tent, you would get more followers. And you go, you know what? You know, you don't have to reject the Bible. Nobody really owns that. Nobody owns that Bible. They tried, and they failed. They tried, and they failed. There is precedent. If you were to take it before a lawyer and you say, do Christians own the New Testament, I think you'd have to say, no, they don't. Why? Well, because other people have done it, and it's okay. You know, it's been supported. It's been propped up. Jehovah's Witnesses printed their own version of the Bible. The Mormons printed their own version of the Bible, and nobody's gotten really weird about it. So you know what? The Bible is not, you know, people say, oh, well, the Bible supports, no, it doesn't. I said, Christianity is not based on the Bible. It never really was. I said, now you may take a certain Bible references, and that may be your justification, which is fine. But yeah, it doesn't matter. So anyway, the whole thing about continuing revelation, which is the absolute bedrock of Mormonism. Absolute. No question. The bedrock thing. I think. Because let me tell you, it is the worst fighting point of the whole war. The first thing you have to know is, you have to know, A, there's a war going on, and you're not going to join the Christian camp. It's only going to be Christians who flee to Mormons for protection when it really comes down to it. You know, I said, trust me, it isn't going to be because we're all warm and fuzzy and Christian. They're going to have to say, you know what, Christendom is dead, I'm going to go after the things that survive, you know. And you go, you know what, I said, I think I'm more willing to be a Mormon than I am to be Islamic, than I'm willing to be, you know, whatever other thing is that, than the Baha'i faith, you know, which is so, you know, it's actually, well, I can't, I'm not going to say that, but many people consider it an offshoot of Islam, but a very open-minded one that really doesn't have a creed beyond taking in anybody. You know, it's just like homosexuality, anything like that. If you're willing to live the lifestyle you're in, you know, there's no particular, you know, and the only thing that defines the lifestyle is having sex with anything that stays still long enough. You know, it is a lifestyle based upon sexual gratification from a variety of sources. Yeah, I said, that's fine. The Mormons are all about continuing revelation. It's the very bedrock of it. Joseph Smith, when he went to that grove, he received revelation. I don't think he's the only person that's received revelation during his time or before it. It's just that nobody else seems to be willing to push forward with that. There are people that are having visitations from angels, spirits, and you know, it's hard to figure out what's good, what should be listened to, what's bad, and what should not be listened to. That's probably the most difficult thing in the whole world, is trying to figure that one out. I struggled with it. I struggled with it for a long, long time. Anyway, so that becomes the bedrock thing. And I'm sorry, it really does come down to, you know, that thing. There are apologetics, Mormon apologetics, Christian ones too, who will fight and bicker about 500 other different concepts where Mormons differ from Christianity registered trademark. Christianity with an R. But really when it comes down to it, and you have to understand how most people ended up becoming Mormons. It was when they found out that Joseph Smith was a prophet, which is usually through the Book of Mormon. That's how I did it. You read the Book of Mormon, you pray about it, and once you get your answer about that, you know, was Joseph Smith a prophet? Well, yeah. That's the first thing he did as a servant of God was to bring the Book of Mormon. You know, he was led to it. He translated it. And we have it. You know, Christianity with an R will tell stories every day. They will print lies. They will print convenient stories that might be absolutely apocryphal. They will do anything needed to make sure that you don't go down that road. Because let me tell you, the concept of continuing revelation totally destroys Christianity. Totally destroys it. The whole concept is absolutely subversive to Christianity with an R. Just by its nature. That's why most Christians would say, hey, you know what? I said, you know, the whole thing is to make sure nobody goes, even looks in that direction. Oh, well, you Mormons are just crazy. I give you 5,000 reasons. You go, you know what? All those reasons are junk. There's only one real contention. There's only one real thing. It says, and I know that Mormonism is quite different from Christianity. I'll concede that. I'll concede it. How about that, you little weasels? And you go, but I'll tell you what. And you go, I dare you. I challenge you. I challenge you. Yeah. To read the Book of Mormon. To pray if it's true. Sincerely pray if it's true. Or not. And then ask the question. Ask the question. Of God. And do what God tells you to do. I challenge you to do it. Because it will be an absolute revelation to you. It will be an absolute revelation to you if you do it. If you go and you do that and you pray sincerely and you are positive that God told you that the Book of Mormon is a work of the devil, amen to you. Have a nice day. God bless you. You know, you can go on your merry way. Secure in the fact that the heavens are closed, that God is silent, that God is tired, and he's not really interested anymore. Feel free. You know, and you know, that's fine. That's fine. That is the bedrock, one of the bedrock tenets of Christianity. And they put in there, as soon as they could, as soon as they found out that somebody else was saying God may have spoken to somebody else, that was immediately what needed to be said was, nope. All the truth is here. Cannot be questioned. There will never be more. Nothing more, nothing less. Whoa. Okay. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue about this stuff. I'm not going to sit here and argue about it. Except to say, do you think you have the right, do you think anybody has the right, to tell God that he can't speak to man anymore? Do you think anybody has the right to say that? Do you think John has the right to say that? Most of the prophet movement came from the fact that they had problems with Christianity with an R. Not big ones at all. Usually pretty, well, actually, they were quite explosive for being as small as they were. You know, the whole point that you don't have to have somebody between you and God, you don't have to have some kind of a mediator to tell you what the Bible is saying, that you can figure that out yourself. So that was big. That was explosive. Wow. That all those wonderful popes up there weren't infallible. That all the history books that we have that say, you know what, there's some really raunchy popes. Raunchy popes. And they put forth some pretty weird ideas. And if these are the vicars of Christ, you know, wow. Because we've really, you know, the apple's fallen pretty far from the tree. You know, and those are all quite valid. But just to say that, as much as being devoted to Catholicism, for instance, has a tendency to muddy the path and probably lead you down kind of a funny road. When God was so upset about setting up graven images to worship, and said, I'm a little confused about who the Christians pray to. They pray to saints, stuff like that. They put up images of their favorite saint, you know, build a little shrine for them. That's actually very, very, very common where I live, you know. There are many houses with a little, you know, we used to call them upturned bathtubs, and I think that's what they're fashioned after. I think bathtub manufacturers in the old days, you know, took out a couple of pieces and made plenty of saint shrines to keep the rain off their patron saint, you know. And you're going, yeah, this is, I'm totally with the fact that I think Catholicism went down the road of fallen Jewry. I think one of the reasons why we have those stories, or a good reason, or something, I don't know if there's reason to it, except to say that you can see Catholics walking the same road as fallen Judaism, when they started to worship Baal or whatever little silver thing, because they were getting Hellenized. And they were going to be accepted much more readily if they did that, you know. It's kind of the same fight that Mormonism has with Christianity with an R, you know. Mormonism could easily, if it's not careful, fall into the trap of, let's change this and change this so that we can be a little more acceptable to Christianity with an R. The community of Christ that's, as far as I'm aware of, that's That's their shtick. They are much more accepted as Christians than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, although they were once the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are a splinter group. Well, they are one of those Mormon, ex-Mormon saints that decide to get a little more, just a little mix of dumping off stuff that makes them look weird. I think the community of Christ would have a great time trying to combine itself with the Baha'i faith for being just, you know, we're all about peace and love and community, and these aren't bad things. But, you know, they pretty much they haven't rejected Joseph Smith, but they pretty much said that's in our past. But we're moving on from our past. The Book of Mormon has very much become very de-emphasized for them. And, and this is just from what I read from their website. You know, if you say, well, Jay, that's your perception, they go, yeah, it's true. But I do bring it from their words on the subject. That they really aren't too big on the Book of Mormon anymore. You know? That they're distancing themselves from Joseph Smith. Heck, they are distancing themselves from core tenets of their faith that came from, you know, 30 years ago. You know, these guys are jettisoning their history to cling to something new. And that's, you know, that's sad. So, yeah, that's probably one of my things. So, about the whole thing of, I'm not going to sit here and talk about what Christianity is. Because, as far as I'm aware, Christianity has a little R after it. It says it's trademark. It's trademark owned by somebody else. And it's somebody that's at war with us. It says, you know, it says they won't give an inch until the Mormon Church ceases to exist. It's like the fight between Lamanites and Nephites for Mormons, you know. It wasn't just enough that Lamanites wanted to rule. You know, it wasn't enough. That really wasn't what it was about. And in the very end, there was nothing for it but to utterly destroy the Nephites. That was just all there was. The Nephites ultimately meant the people of God. You know. It all comes down to Revelation, because you know what? So many people join this church based on one fact, Book of Mormon. And they sat there, they read about it, they prayed about it, and they got an answer. And that was it, you know. Then after that, you start saying, you know, then when you go back to your friends and you go, hey, I read the Book of Mormon, and I found out it's true, you all of a sudden find out that they're not your friend anymore. And you go, what the heck is this? I read a book, I prayed about it, God told me something, and now I'm the enemy? And it's like, yes! And so then you start realizing what's going on. That this isn't cute, sweet, and wonderful. They hate you! They hate you! Because it's not about truth. It's about orthodoxy. Christianity with an R has nothing to do with truth. It has to do with orthodoxy. You follow our way of thinking or not? If you don't, piss off. And we hate you. And if it got down to carrying weapons and stuff like that, we shoot you. Ta-da! It's just that simple. Don't forget that you were driven out of the United States at the point of a gun. Don't forget that they massacred you in Missouri. Hello? And they go, oh, those people weren't Christians. You go, yes, they were. Yes, they were. Well, they weren't good Christians. And you go, do you see any activity among the modern good Christians that smiles on Mormonism? You know, it's most willing to go up, you know, I said, I'm sorry. I said, against the Mormon Church, do you know who's Confederate these days? Christians with an R and gays. They're banding together in a wonderful new reality. Whee! Gays and Christians, you know, shaking hands across. Now I got to tell you when you start having these defining points, when you start saying, you know, who's going to side with who, you have to understand that dividing line isn't Christianity with an R. It isn't there at all. Christianity with an R is splitting itself into different factions, the factions that are really the combatants here. You know? Mormonism in the lead? Yes. It is at the lead of an army. And Christians with an R happen to bite their tongues. They're like holding their noses while they say, "We're going to shine with the Mormons." You know, on issues of gayness, the funny thing is, Christians with an R, a reasonable proportion of them, probably the majority of them, are siding with the other side. Oh, let's just embrace gays. God loves all the little children. Therefore, he loves and accepts gayness too. Bull hockey. Rabbit dropping. I don't see any of it. Excrement. Absolutely not. Are you on God's side or not? And I don't care what your brand is. I don't care what you sit there and say, oh, I'm going to be saved for the blood of Jesus. You go, yeah? So? Jesus, what does that mean? So you're on the wrong side. If you're smooching up to the gays, the gays are wrong. The gays are all wrong. The gays have to turn on God to do this. And if you side with them and let them into your churches and say, oh, this is a wonderful thing. Don't include into your tent what God doesn't want. God has called sodomy and those who practice it an abomination. And let me tell you, that abomination isn't going to sit there and praise God now that you've accepted them. They're going to do it until they're in your leadership. Until they can rewrite that Bible the way they like it. Oh, it's not stating about sodomy. What are you talking about? We took out that whole Sodom and Gomorrah story out of the Old Testament because that's just stupid. So those were nice guys coming around wanting to have fun with Lot's daughter. Oh, we're wonderful people. Come out so we can know them better. Yeah, they're going to have to have sex with them. Know that there's a war going on, and the fact that we don't see it as a war, we don't cast it as a war, I mean, that's totally up to the brethren, how they want the official state of the church to be. I have no problem calling it a war. I have no problem with casting Christianity with an R as the enemy. That doesn't bother me on any level whatsoever. I think it's a good idea. I don't know if it's inspired. I don't know if it's this or that. I don't know if they sit there and counsel and fight about it and say, you know what? And they go, I don't feel like I have to cast it the same way they do. I think they're still fighting, you know, that they simply think they're just going to enlighten Christians. Now, I'm not saying you can't enlighten some Christians. I think you're fiddling around with trademarks, and I think you should let it go. There was some guys that talked about Mormonism as being the fourth Abrahamic religion. And I think that's probably a healthier way to do it. That way, Baptists can put it in their own context. No, people say, oh, don't do that. We'll stop getting people investigating the church. And you go, what do you mean? And says, you know what? Every day, lapsed Christians, for excellent reasons, they're lapsed thinking Christians, leave Christianity and become, is Islamic, become Buddhist, become all these other things. Where do you think the Baha'i faith ultimately sees most of it inherits from? You know, being what could be construed as offshoot of Islam is from Christianity, from this world, from people saying, I don't really know if I believe Christianity anymore. For one reason or another, you know what? In killing ourselves, trying to define ourselves by the trademark, Christianity, we're Christians. And said, I think we dismiss a whole bunch of thinking, feeling, frankly, intelligent people who seek for what Christianity can't give them, a more personal connection with God. Christianity sucks at that. Because Christianity says, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, the canon's closed. There's no new prophets. There can't be new prophets. And you go, you know what, I'm really struggling to figure out why on earth you think that the Bible says that. How can the Bible possibly say it? There was prophets right there. Which prophet can say, I will be the last prophet, there will be no more? Who said that? Oh, well, John said this little statement in here. And you go, you know what? Fine. This is fine. You're using a pathetic, classy excuse for it. I'm sorry. This is that can be interpreted several different ways. It's just that Christianity, in its war, I'm sorry, it's a war against Mormonism, pumped up that concept, dug it so deep into their dogma that, you know, and then scares everybody. Boy, if you if you do anything those Mormons tell you, you're going to burn in hell. You're gonna terrible things in Revelation. That's what'll happen to you if you even entertain the fact that the Book of Mormon can be true. You go out to ask God to sit there and listen to your preacher. Says, aren't you falling into the same trap that Catholicism imposed on Christianity? Would it help trademark? Solely? Aren't you falling into that trap? No, you must do it. You must accept my interpretation. Take the next step, Protestant. Take the next step, Protestant. What are you going to do? And said, being a Bible worshiper is fine, but accept it. Say it. Say, I'm a Bible worshiper. If Jesus Christ came down today and saw you, you'd reject him. You'd reject him as soundly as the Jews did. For whatever reason, you know, the Jews reject Jesus based on, you know, politics. They were afraid that he was going to shake up the Sanhedrin or something, and then all of a sudden, you know, Herod had to fight him for political reasons. You know, and it was easy to get the other Jews to get all weird about that, or at least isolate a group of whatever. Or they used the same tactics. It said you would reject Jesus Christ and quote scripture while you did it. Oh no, I can't reject, I can't accept you, you know. Not coming this way or that way. You remember the Jews' problem. They couldn't accept Christ because they thought he was going to come down and destroy the Romans. When he came in something that they weren't expecting, they rejected him. They rejected him. You would do the same. You would do the same. You know, I have to appeal to Scripture. I can appeal to your nature. That doesn't apply, you know? It says you're clinging to an orthodoxy. But you're not clinging to truth. Look at everybody who says that who talks about climate. You know, about global cooling, global warming, really changing the climate change. Pretty soon they're just going to co-opt the whole concept of climate at all, and you'll look like a boob if you say, well, I don't believe in climate. They go, well, duh, you know, that's how it gets done. How do you think Constantine ultimately won? Over Arianism, over several hundred different flavors of Christianity. How do you think what became Catholicism won that battle? Because it wasn't, you know, sorry. Because it was a bunch of guys having a fight, going out, and there was arms involved, as far as I recall. They were the biggest. They were the baddest. They weren't going to be challenged. And with the might of the Roman Empire behind them, how could they possibly win? And when the Roman Empire morphed into what would become the Catholic Church, you know, hey, it took a long time. It took until, you know, 1400, 1500. Until somebody would challenge that. In any significant way. This stuff. Welcome to Protestantism. I think about the religion that my mom came from. It's called the Church of Christ. It's kind kind of a weird thing because honestly, there are several churches, several different denominations that use the term Church of Christ. They even said Mormons did once upon a time, and that was true. Not anymore. We don't use it anymore because God told us to stop. God gave us a letter name, and it's very specific. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is our name. But my mom came from this thing, and they don't say their problems either, which is fine. Mormons don't say their problems either. That we don't find ourselves in these particular religious traditions. God. Bring my patriarchal blessing, it's gonna come, you know. As long as I'm righteous, as long as I'm trying, you know. As long as I'm worthy of it, that will come true. So, I just need to hang in there. So, every time I go by something, I'm like, I pretty much don't propose Christianity. It's kind of fun, and it just brings it around to the one whole thing, it's just, you know, but I'll tell you how I decided to become a Mormon, or to stay a Mormon, actually. It was because of that. You know, that I am not a particularly obedient person at all. So as the time has gone by, I find myself less apt to do something only for orthodoxy. You know? That's just kind of the way things tend to go. You know, I have to because I feel sorry. So, you know, when it comes to the scouting stuff and the gay garbage, everybody's going, oh, you're so weird about gay, don't you judge, gay. You know, you have to understand. Right now, they've become the enemy. They become the enemy to anything that is good. That says, I can't be good, you know. It says, you support an organization that's absolutely at war with me. Not just in Mormonism, the label. You're at war with me. I'm sorry. Can't cut you an inch. If there's anything I learned from Democrats, from gays, from Catholicism, early Catholicism, you cannot give them an inch. You've got to cut them off, and cut them off hard and fast. You cannot be that way. Period. Cannot be. If you do, you're out. You are out. And that's all. You engage in that stuff. How do you feel about it? I'm going to excommunicate them. I'm going to go through the process of being excommunicated. You know, you have to understand, you cannot perform these actions. You cannot make yourself, ally to these people. You cannot do it. And it's a war. It's a war. Don't you understand? It says, you know what? I think I come from a different bolt of cloth than you do. You know, and it's not to be rude. You have to understand where I come from. It says, I'm a Cohen. And you have to understand what Cohen was. You may not have ever read in the scriptures, but because you're throwing things into your mind, I'm thinking about my sacred presence path. I think his basic training was to be a seminary teacher. And you go, you know, Phinehas, the son of Aaron, there's all kinds of things going on in the camp of Israel. He caught fornicators, right? And he ran the boat through with a javelin. And because he did that, he and his descendants, in the time, were blessed by God. And I know you're the person to go, oh, God, oh, you know, let me tell you about what kind of guy I am. I'm a descendant of pity. Okay? It's in there. It's in there, and I can't give him an inch. Can't give him an inch. Christians are going to smell hellfire. They're going to feel it on their bodies. It's going to roast them like little piggies. And to try to dampen that all, say, oh, well, you know, no, just, you know, hello, tell them the truth. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be saved in the kingdom of heaven. That applies to you. That applies to you. You. Sorry. We're not here in the Mutual Admiration Club. You follow the wrong, you're right. We have a different Christ. You're following the wrong one. I come from a Jewish background. The background that used to watch as God would destroy entire nations to save them from pollution. That's my God. He said, and you guys need to understand that as Mormon, your God too. And if you think that God won't do that, you got to know your covenant. You know, not here to be rude. Not here to be rude on any level whatsoever. Because it's orthodoxy. It's your family orthodoxy. So be careful. Your family could be wrong. Their family could be wrong too. You know, getting together in a large group doesn't justify anybody, does it? Are the Catholics right? Come, come. They're bigger than you are. Using your logic, you should side with them. They've got the most people. They've got the most here. Why aren't you going with them? Oh! Well, let's talk about continuing revelation. And why you have a problem with that. Because the only thing I need to do is to get you to the point to where you can say, you know what? Maybe God could still speak to me. Maybe God could. Maybe God could reveal religious truths that aren't in the Bible. That aren't in the Bible. And then you're ready to ask some more questions. Because before then, you won't even ask the questions. Ta-da! So that's really what it kind of comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And I'm not going to denigrate everything that the church is doing right now, trying to do goodwill campaigns, trying to be assertive for the people. trying to do all those other things that good people do, that Christ-centered people do. You know, but I can attack it on a whole other level. You know, sorry, I'm a subjective opinion. And we live in a horribly permissive world. I can't kill you. There's no law to justify me if I were to kill you. For what you choose to do. And if in that excommunication people fall away, well, okay. Well, be gracious. Drop your pants now! Drop them! You've just signed on with the enemy! Drop your pants! Let him have you! You got it? Whose side are you on? For being my house, you will serve the Lord. What is you and what are you in your house? I can shrug about a lot of things, but this is letting the enemy be inside. And in our zeal to try not to separate people from this, that problem. Those who are unrepentant, those who sin and are unrepentant, you can have to throw out. Because this is an obvious one. You can sit there all day and say, well, you know, I'm born this way. God must love me because I was born this way. So you know what? He said, I really would love to be an alcoholic. I would love to be an alcoholic. Man. The whole concept of that golden spring, how it burns going down. Oh, it makes me feel so good. Does that justify me when I do it? Does that justify my actions? Should I give into that? Is that a high moral thing to do, is to give into that? Same thing. If you're weak in what you are, you're weak, and you gain into your weakness. The point is, we're coming here, and I want to ascertain where you stand. Do you intend to continue a gay lifestyle? Yes. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have a disciplinary council, and my recommendation is that you be executed. That you can retain the blessings that you have received. You're not going to. It's all going to be gone. I'm thinking about another person I know, a friend of mine, well, a young person. So. Bobby Sherwood. I don't know if he engaged teenagers to be a same sex attraction guy. And you know what? Just like that, some people find themselves very attracted to alcohol. Some people find themselves very attracted to suicide. Some people find themselves very attracted to doing really extremely dangerous things. Does that justify their actions? Can it be used as an excuse for why you can sin but somebody else cannot? Can it be used that way? No. So, there it is. So the whole point is, you gave in. It's alright. Everybody's weak, but you know what? Giving in to this means that you can't be a Mormon anymore. You have your choice. You can take the name off the record of the church. No, that's it. No, it's not going to be a thing. We're going to go through this action. If you choose to take your name off the registered church before we go to the action, that's your choice. But when it's done, I will say, you're living an open, active, gay lifestyle when you did this. And when you choose to want to come back for one reason or another, if you ever want to, that'll be that, because it will be appended to that little record. And that's it, you know. That's it. Welcome to a descendant of Phineas. Descendant of Phineas, I don't care. You go, my job is to obey God, to do what God tells me to do. It says now, insofar as you represent the church, you can act insofar as you would like to about the church. And if you want to be all milk toasty and all warm and fuzzy and want to do all those things, if you don't like the javelin, well then, I think you better go back and relook at your life and your decision-making process. If God says I'm supposed to be in this thing, you better be ready for me to be in this position. Because that's what I am. I am not. Orthodox. I will not be Orthodox. Orthodoxy is a sin. if I'm going to do something, if I'm doing the same thing the church has done because I thought about it, and I'm okay with it. As a minister, as an ordained minister, standing minister of this church, when I'm acting in that place as a standing minister, I will abide the policies of this church. I will abide them. I may grip my teeth while I do it, but I will not be personal. You cannot personal. Got it? Okay, if that means that I'm only the branch president of this branch for 20 minutes until you figure it out, that's fine. That's fine. You feel like that you're doing the Lord's work? That's your business to figure out, not mine. He's not that level. You're absolutely not. So I will do what the Spirit compels me to do. Or what I think the Spirit compels me to do. How else can I possibly behave? Are you going to sit there and tell me, you know, well, you're being motivated by the wrong spirit? You go, well, then, you know what? Then I can't function. Because this is how I'm trying to do what I feel like the Spirit's trying to do. And if you say I'm wrong, then you need to act. You need to act in your calling. That I don't know who's right. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if you're right. Invoking the Spirit is an interesting thing to do. And I would be very careful about it. I'm doing the best I can. And I hope that everybody else also can do what's right. And, you know, I can't question, you know, I can't question your inspiration any more than I can question mine. And if it seems to go off in different directions, somebody's wrong, and I don't know who. And my own, you know, I can only act by what? By what I feel the Spirit's telling me. I can only do that. And I can't tell if I err or if you err or if he errs. I can't tell. I'm not going to have a fight about it. I'm going to do what I feel inspired to do. If other people say that's not right, and well, then you have a choice then. You can get rid of my ability to do these things. I will gladly do it. You know, I will take it. It's happened to me before. Not new. I'm not going to be wonderful about it. But it's not the first time. It's not the first time I've done it. You know? And if I'm going to be disciplined, proceed as the Spirit guide. Proceed as the Spirit guide. All I can say is what I think is manifest to me by the Spirit. That's what I think. And I can't, you know, and what do you want me to do? repent of trying to follow impressions on you? Because you guys own the church and you guys own the title, okay? You own the cause. That's where you stand. You know, whether I like it or not, that's the way it is. If I, you know, if I want to stay in the church, I have to abide by your rules.
Well, there.
Wow.